Gave you a little bit of extra time there. Okay, we're going for 30 minutes here, and I'm gonna scoot through this end of this deal. Okay, everybody's got to be quiet. Oh, no, we're going to do lunch and then do it. Okay, honey. Yeah, four steps.
So how you doing?
Okay, God, step away from the bar, sir. Sort of God, he goes, how you doing? I'm like, I almost told another story. I swear to God, I don't know what it was, those 2 years off, I have just gone rogue with stories. Rogue, totally rogue. Okay, so we're just going to wrap this third step up, and when we come back, we'll do the fourth step after lunch. I love this line that says, you know, the one I talked about last night, many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore. That's what we're talking about is we want these things so badly, but if I'm doing an AA program like Chicken Soup for the Soul or reading a really spiritual book that's just fabulous, but I'm reading it, I'm not studying it, I think I'm doing all the right things, but I can't achieve what you're talking about. So that's why we like to break down these clear-cut directions and the little pitfalls that you find yourself in. It talks then later, it says, neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. See, you can't, knowledge is very important, but it is the smallest piece, knowledge or awareness, I don't care what you call it, it's the smallest pebble in the brook, because if you don't do anything with it, all you have is knowledge, you don't have experience, and you tell yourself, oh, I'm not going to say that again. Good luck. You know, it doesn't work that way. You may not say it for three times, but by the fourth time, you're going to let it all hang out. Right? And you'll hear people in meetings say, I paused when agitated. And they just want a big old attaboy. I didn't tell them to go kiss my foot, you know? I was really proud of myself. And I can tell by that pause, that is not at all what the book is talking about. The pause is a spiritual pause. It's a gift. It's a promise from doing the work. And it's the still, quiet voice going, don't say that. Instead, what they heard was the ego go, don't mention that now. You can say it later. Something like that. And I get it, because then you're really proud of yourself, and then you take it for, you know, advantage of it, and then by the fourth time, you're letting somebody have all of it. I mean, you're just cold-cocking them. And think about your life. Run past your experience, and that's what I did. You know, I was always so proud of myself that I didn't say anything. Or I was always very crafty because I did so much counseling that if I shared all my feelings with you, you would change. Oh, yeah. You know, so-and-so really hurt my feelings. It says in the book, we are extremely sensitive people. Many of us, it takes a lifetime to get over that. So sharing your feelings is also very tricky, right? There is a time you can, but most of the time, that's not really necessarily the place to go. Because if you want to know it, Charlie hurts my feelings all the time. I'm in a marriage. He doesn't mean to, so he should be off the hook. Are you with me? Oh, my God. But, you know, welcome to marriage. You talk about old ideas in marriage. Some people are like, yeah, but it's just too hard. It's hard. Raising kids is hard. Raising teenagers is miserable. And I swear to God, when they start popping them out, 3, 4, 5 at a time, I'm like, whoa, they're going to be teenagers all at once. Stop procreating. We're done here. Oh my God. You just want to go, are you thinking ahead at all? And they're a fortune. You know what I mean? They eat you out of house and home. They're ungrateful. And I love them with all my heart. You know what I mean? My oldest is 43 and my youngest is 33 and Charlie has two 30 and 30. Is Sadie 34? 30. On Monday. Yep. So we got four, and they, you know, Charlie was around for all of them, and I was around for all his kids. So it's an interesting blend we have. So when it says neither of us could reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing on our own power, it means self can't fix self. We have to have God's help. And that does not mean a prayer. Trust me, prayer is wonderful. It's beautiful. Prayer is kind of what happens after I do the work. I have to get down to causes and conditions. If I don't dig, I can't get that root taken care of. And I think I'm doing it, and I'm not doing it. Or you think you're going to be able to work on your character defects, right? Yeah, that doesn't work either. Self-knowledge awareness, it's important to see what's driving me, my values and my old ideas, right? That's all in that third column. I do what I call an extensive third column. In the book, it doesn't have it the way I like to do it, but I'm still following what the book says because it says, how did it affect our self-esteem? So I take that word how and I go deeper with it. So it is following the literature, but it's just a little bit different way than I do it. See, if otherwise, what I do with self-knowledge and awareness is I go into self-reliance and I try to fix it. That's what most of us do. There's a problem. Let's fix it. I'm Ray Donovan. Let's do it. I got it. I got it figured out. I know what to do. God will give me a big high five in a minute, you know, when I'm done. And then, so I'm not bringing any spiritual work into this because I haven't uncovered anything that I need to pray about. I am just completely asleep. So I'm going through life asleep, dreaming I'm awake. And I typically don't get startled awake till I've upset you. So that's where I took the 10th step off the wall is damage control, right? Continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admit it. So all of a sudden, I'm going through life asleep, and I step on your toes, and you go, whoa, and you startle me awake. And I'm like, oh, my God, I just pissed off Chad bad. I got to fix this. So I go tell him how sorry I am. See, so I take that 10th step off as damage control. For the longest time, I thought it was the evening review anyway. You know, come to find out, it's not. It's a spot check inventory taken throughout the day. So it was at a meeting with Danny at Northland. I remember it was on the 10th step, and everybody's talking about the evening review. Now, remember, I wasn't doing it anyway. So I'm just on the sideshow watching the meeting. I'm like, I'm not talking because I don't even really know what the step means. But I'm here. And Danny said, well, I'm glad we're talking about the 10th step because it's not the evening review. And he said that, and I thought, ooh. Controversy right there. And then I just went back asleep. Didn't go check on it. Didn't look at it. Danny said it. Good for you. Let's pray, and we're done. And we're out of the meeting. See, and that was basically what my program was. And you know, no shame in my game. It just was what it was. And I was very lucky to stay sober 17 years. But it says on page 14, for if an alcoholic fails to enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he can't handle certain trials and low spots ahead. Well, let me tell you, I handled a lot of low spots and a lot of uncertainty. But when Joe got really sick, he could not handle that. And he ended up going back out. And I was that close to going back out. It was seconds and inches. It really was. Thank God for Charlie Parker. I hope everybody has a good friend like that. I was like a wet cat. He'd get in the car. Katie, just get in the car. You know, and I did not want what Mark Houston had. He didn't light my fire. I thought he was handsome. That's as far as I went. Pretty good looking guy. Okay. You know, he said, you know, and Charlie's over there like, and then we go back to the room, and he goes, are you going to be writing the evening review? I went, hell no, I'm not writing an evening review. And he goes, I said, you are such a brown noser. And then the next thing you know, Charlie is starting to have this awakening, and I'm pissed, you know. And then, you know, he drugged me, and thank God he did, because I'm telling you, it would have been, I think I would have died. I don't think I would have come back. My pride wouldn't let me come back. I know my pride. And I remember when I was walking towards that beer, I had heard enough inventories about crack, and crack hadn't come out when I got sober. Hell, I had light beer, I don't think came out. But I remembered hearing the stories about crack, and I liked that avenue. And I thought, you know what, I could go do that. And then I also heard what happens in those crack houses is pretty ugly. And I thought, could you see me taking on three black guys? Come on. You got a problem with me? Oh. Probably have the crap beat out of me. You know what I mean? I mean, I get in way over my head, and then I always say, oh, my God, I'm in over my head. That's the motto of the alcoholic. What was I thinking? I shouldn't have ever done this. So, I mean, I think I would have spun out of control. The fourth step is a consideration of how self shows up. A consideration, that's it. All God's ever doing is offering you information. Do you want to take this deeper? Is this, you know what that's called? Free will. See, bad stuff happens in life because we've been given free will. It's not what God does. It is the free will we've been given. It's the greatest gift ever. And that's what we agnostics was talking about. Logic, reason, worship, all the things we do with this free will that works against us. When we start to work with that for us, oh my gosh, the world opens up. You actually can live in the moment. I think living in the moment is one of the most difficult things I've ever accomplished. And it requires a ton of work. And then you have a pandemic. Oh my God, it just turned the heat up on everything. At first, it was kind of cool and fun. I mean, it was a little scary, don't get me wrong. You know, I wasn't quite sure who to believe. I think we all are still in that spot. Not quite sure who to believe. And I'm damn sure not telling you who I believe. So you keep yours to you and I'll keep mine to me because we can't talk about that either. But the truth of the matter is the heat turned up because all of a sudden now we don't have what we thought we are used to having. And we lose a lot. Didn't have the gym, didn't have my AA meetings, didn't have my sponsee meeting, didn't have, you know, all of this stuff. It was really tough. It says, though our decision was a vital and crucial step. Vital and crucial mean that we have to have those to live. It's trying to tell us how important this was, right? This fourth step. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little or permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom. What? I thought liquor was the problem. So we had to get down to causes and conditions. That paragraph right there, it's on 63, top of 63, I don't know. That is so profound. I'm going to read it again. Though our decision, right, that I'm going to let God run the show, and we've just looked at all the many different ways self shows up. It's a very tough decision. Sometimes you have to make that every day until you get to the place to where you go, I'm no longer going to be in this kind of pain. This kind of pain behind this situation is too difficult. I remember when I surrendered the one between Charlie and I's biggest problem. I remember exactly where I was, fetal position, snot flying by myself on the floor. And I thought, I can't do this. Now, Charlie had seen me in that position before in pain. But it was the time I was in pain and I realized this situation's bigger than me, God. Help me. And my relationship with God was nothing like it is today. And God is so merciful. He's just, stay in the boat, Katie. Stay in the boat. I will take you to the path you need. But it's very dark. The path can be very, very dark. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. We go back to page 62 at the bottom. It's now at the end of what do we mean and what do we do? So now, a lot of people hang in the what do, too. And don't get me wrong. If you don't understand what the problem is, the what do is not where you start. You have to start with writing a piece of inventory. Not typing, not texting, pen to paper. Because my sponsor is a high-end, in the high criminal court, ugly cases. She does this, right? The court reporter. And she says, Katie, the mind works too fast when you type or text. Well, for me, not texting. Wrong. We're back up. Oh, so some of you guys, right? You can type or text and the mind works faster than that. You get a pen and paper and write. It's methodical and it comes down. And it slows everything down. Trust me. Just trust me on that one. If all you get out of this is you start writing inventory, great. And so it says, so now here's, you know, what do we do? The how, when, and the why. First of all, we had to quit playing God. Why? It didn't work. Well, it worked pretty well for me. Remember, I told you that. So it's going to be hard for me to differentiate where I bring him in and where I don't. I need to know everything. That's kind of how I am. I'm the gal that runs the show. I do a pretty good job of it. That's how I show up. If you're the follower, you need to figure out how to be a little bit more of a leader. See, followers are taking, the ego turned inward is having as much struggle as the extrovert is. It's just showing up different. So then it says, page 88, it says it works, it really does, right? It's trying to tell us all of this, all the way up to page 88. If you do this work, it really works. We have to have God's help. So it says, next, here's the decision. We decided that God was going to be the director. Now remember, we were where it says we're the actor running the whole show. So imagine that you're the actor and all of a sudden you go, whoa, whoa, hold it. Cut. This whole play needs to go differently. And the director's going, who is this guy? And what does he think he's doing? God is going to be the director. He is the principal. We are his agents. I love the 1936 dictionary's definition of agent. It says, empowered to act on one's behalf. You see, I am the vessel to help you get connected to the power. I'm not the power. I'm not going to tell you what boy to date, what job to take, what car to buy. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give you some options of what might be the best path for you to get on. But you do what you want. I'm not going to make a sponsee ever do anything I tell them. But you will know you didn't do what I asked you to do. But I'm not going to make you do it because I'm not going to let you have the experience you have to have, which is unfortunately not a good one. I can't stop you from having a bad experience. I mean, oh my God, how many of you guys have seen a sponsee or yourself go into a relationship that is just disastrous? And you just, all it does is it means it's so much work for me. So much work for me. But, you know, it is what it is because I never forgot what Marty did for me. Every time I'd call her with Charlie and I's problems, I still call her today with a lot of them. Charlie makes my evening review a lot. You know why? He doesn't have the problem. I do. Sometimes I tell him I wish I made his evening review because I think I make him mad and he doesn't get through it. And every once in a while, he just jabs me. And you're like, oh, you're mad at me. I know you are. Write a piece of inventory. You know? See that I am me, you know? Because that's the beauty of it. But if your significant other's not making your evening review, you need to look at that. Because marriage is tough. I wouldn't have it any other way. I love being married. I love growing old with somebody. I love it. And it's challenging. One minute, I am just absolutely in love and 4 seconds later, I'm in the ditch. I can't stand him. How does that happen? How, less than a minute ago, I was over there just, God, I love that man with all my heart. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm going to kill him. It's a funny little thing. He is the Father. We are his children. That's the one I love. When I write my love letters, my two-way prayer is a love letter to God. And I started out with Father God. And my paragraph or two that I write is my evening review. My struggles, my good stuff, there's some good stuff in there, but my struggles are typically what I'm writing. So I'm writing, you know, my challenges, my sponsees that are challenging, you know, my health issue that might be challenging, whatever's challenging. God, I'm really struggling in this area too. La, 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 la. Then I do my morning time, and then I come back when I've got my, you know, whatever I'm doing in my morning time, and then I start and I write my child, and then God speaks to me. It's audibly a different voice. I can't make that up. It is just what it is. It's audibly a different voice, and it moves me to tears 90% of the time. I'm just like, wow, constantly telling me, I've got this, honey. Just take a deep breath. Do the work I've asked you to do today. Go out there and help my kids. You're going to stay close to me because that's what you do. And I mean, every moment I am using the pause when agitated or doubtful because I got my list of stuff to do. And I mean, I swear to God, I am an extrovert. Yes, I am. I wish everyone was, honestly. Just stay out of my way. But I wish everyone was because you would be shocked at what making eye contact with somebody at the gas pump will do for you. You're pumping gas. You go, I like your car. And they're like, my car? Yeah, that's a nice car. You know, next thing you know, you're talking to him. You have a few minute exchange. You get in your car, you drive off, you go into somewhere else, and you tell somebody, that is a really cool looking shirt. Engage in conversation. We are becoming a world where nobody talks to each other. It's just put your phone down. Turn your phone off for a minute. Just see what happens. It's amazing. God orchestrated. I love what the Father said. That is my motto. You would be shocked. And I'm going to tell one quick story because this one, and I'm not looking for kudos, okay? This is what we do in AA. Charlie and I shoot shotguns competitively. It is the greatest thing in the world. Ladies, a power washer and a shotgun, you'll never need counseling again. I swear to God. There's something so rewarding behind those two items. I don't know what, I'd like to be able to do both at the same time, you know? So we shoot shotguns. I love the community. I love the people. I love the sport. It's outside. It's fantastic. And there's a sport called FETESC. It's a low gun mount. It's got a lot of rules. You know, the girls have to wear longer, you know, down to the knee thing. I don't really care much for that. But, you know, closed-toed shoes, all this stuff. Very, very strict little rules in this game. And the referees are pretty straightforward. I mean, you don't mess around. You can't talk. You can't do a lot of things. And I walk up and I see this referee, and it's right before we're switching squads, and she looks like my sponsor, and she's got an energy. You know the energy feel you feel when you just can tell you like this person. And I go up to her and I start talking to her. Super gal. I just loved her. And I was like, wow, I just really like this girl. Her little pup Kiki was there. And so we do the whole thing, and it's really neat. And Charlie's shooting over on the other squad, so he's going to meet her too when we switch squads, because we don't shoot together. And that is a whole nother story. And so, but that's what we do. And that took years. And you can talk to my sponsor about that one. So at the very end of this thing, Charlie's squad's not done. So we're done. And I'm talking to her, and she just opens up to me. People do that. I don't know what the gift is that God gave me, but they do that. And they tell me a lot of personal stuff, and I respect it. And she said, yeah, I live in Florida, and my mom fell, and she's about my age. She goes, my mom fell and broke her hip, and we just got her out of rehab, and she fell again. And they said, she's not going to make it this time. And she said, she's going to probably pass away in 2 days. So I looked at her, and I said, first, you know, I gave her my condolences and sincere apologies for her pain. And I said, have you bought an airline ticket yet? And she said, oh, my God, I got a one-way ticket. They just killed me. Because it's not a death certificate ticket, right? You can get a better deal if it's death. But she's going there to see her mom before she dies. And I said, so you've only bought a one-way ticket? And Charlie has bazillion miles. We just do. And I said, it would be an honor if you would let me get you a ticket on the way back. And she looked at me and she goes, well, you don't even know me. I said, I don't need to know you. I'm just trying to help you. And she was, you could see her pride flared up. And I said, oh, please don't let your pride ruin this. I said, I will hold nothing. I just would like to get you a ticket back. And she looked at me and I said, I bet you do a lot of nice things for folks. And she goes, I do. And I said, so this is your time in the barrel. You get to have somebody do something good for you. And so I gave her my number, and at the end of Charlie's squad shooting with her, I said, oh, you're going to love this ref. I can't wait to tell you the story. And so Charlie gets over there, and when I pull up, he's giving her a hug, and all this is happening, and I'm thinking, oh, they've talked about it. This is so cool. Charlie's going to know what we're going to do. And we get in the cart, and we drive away. I said, so did she tell you what's going on? And he goes, no, I just loved her right away. And I said, so you didn't know her mom's dying? And he goes, no. I said, we're going to get her a ticket. He goes, turn the Jeep around, you know, so we turn it around, we go back, and we're talking to her more, and it was just awesome. Well, then she never calls me, and I thought, oh, she can't, I just could cry. I was like, she can't not do this. She cannot let her pride get in the way of this. You do not have to spend money if you don't have to spend money. You have to learn to just say thank you. Just say thank you. Do not let your pride rob me of the gift I want to give you. And when Joe died, my sponsor at the time was like, stop being so prideful. You cannot accept a gift. Thank you for that gift. And so I went to great lengths to find her phone number. She took mine. I didn't take hers. And I went to great lengths to find her. And a woman that I love looked deeply into the records, found her phone number, and I left her a message. And I said, listen, I just want to tell you, if it was too much for your pride to handle, I hope you could get past that and let me give you this gift. And that was all I said. And I said, and if you don't want to call me back, I totally understand. She calls me back 20 minutes later. And this is a week later. Her mother had just died an hour before. And she was crying. And she said, you know, I don't know what it is about you, but you just knew the right time to call. And it was like, well, God was the one that told me I get to make this big ordeal to find your phone number. You know, I knew that. I knew that that was what I was supposed to do. I knew I wasn't pushing my will. And we started talking. She was going to come to Austin for 3 days. We were going to go shoot together. She's going to bring her dog. She's staying in her little motorhome. All this stuff was going to happen. We ended up getting her the ticket, but unfortunately, the timing, we were going to another shoot, and I wasn't going to be in town when she came back. So she said, we're going to get together at Nationals in October. I told her yes, and she goes, you got a friend for life. And I said, I felt that the minute I met you. See, we miss these things in life. If we're not paying attention, we really do. We miss opportunities in life to be able to help people and to make a lasting relationship outside of the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. So he is the father and I am his child. I want him to guide me because there's a whole world out there. You know, my nail tech is from Vietnam. One time I got on the phone, they were going to give her grief about her company. And I said, you know, I'll represent you. She was scared to death. They hadn't been in America long. I said, hand me the phone. I said, yeah, this is Katie Parker. I'm representing Miss Yang. Uh-huh. I was representing her as a friend, you know. And I got the pole in front of their house moved, you know. It was like, she's been asking for a month to move the goddang pole, and you guys are not doing anything. I'd like to know why. Do we need to take some more action on that? I swear to God, I love that stuff. And every time I come in, I just, and I like a relationship with my nail tech. I like a relationship with the person who does my alteration, the girl that does my hair. I like these relationships. And I like them more than just the minute we got together. I got five more minutes. It says, most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we will pass to freedom. My arch was not ever finished. I was living off an experience I had had long ago. You have to ask yourself one short question on page 47. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? I personally would like you to get that tighter. Decide what this power is. What spiritual literature do you follow? You know, better men than we have been doing it. If you still got higher power in this whole yin-yang, that it's just this whole blah, 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 you need to narrow that baby down. You need to have a relationship with the power. I always say, if I got a sponsee that's 17 years sober and she's still calling it a higher power, I'm not quite sure why. Have we gotten past that? Are we getting a little bit deeper into what we agnostics says? Deep down inside of us is the fundamental idea of God. Are you talking to that voice? Are you talking to the ocean? Get it to where it's personal and intimate. And see what happens. If you don't like it, then go back to your ocean. As soon as a man can say he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeated, proven among us, upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderful, effective spiritual structure can be built. It's identification and power. Don't underestimate it. Don't soft sell it either. It's a message of depth and weight, and we're armed with the facts. When we sincerely, not just willy-nilly, sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. This is the terms of the deal, remember? Stay close to him, perform his work well. You cannot stay close to him till you get close to him. The only way to get close to him is to get unblocked. You have to put pen to paper. God does not make too hard a terms for those who seek him. Being all-powerful, he provided what we needed if we keep close to him and perform his work well. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, ask yourself these questions. Do you have peace of mind? And if you just answered willy-nilly yes, I question that. Ask yourself, how often do you look at your phone? If you turn to God more than you look at your phone, do you play Candy Crush every minute you have a second to do something? Are you playing that stupid Facebook farm game? Jesus, I've been around people where I'm like, put the goddang phone down. We are having a conversation. And this new Apple Watch, oh, trust me, when I'm talking to you and you're doing this, it's like, I know what you're doing. Okay, you're reading that. You didn't even hear what I said. So be careful. Just because it goes, you don't have to look at it. You just don't have to. Phones are really, really tough. As we discovered we could face life successfully, another question. As we became conscious of his presence, see, these promises are big. We began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. Spiritual growth comes like maturity, like I said. What used to work at 3 years doesn't work at five. What used to work at five doesn't work at seven. It's just the nature of it. And then Bill writes, My friend promised when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator. I love that term. That I would have the elements of a way of living which would answer all my problems. Sex, money, kids, everything. a belief in a power greater, a belief in a power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. Humility, willingness, and honesty. That's tough. It's a tough one. Simple, but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant the destruction of self-centeredness. And let me tell you, that's on a daily basis. You don't get it. You don't get rid of it. The word rid means to be set free, not like take the garbage out and get rid of it. It says, I must turn in all things to the Father of light who presides over us all. These were revolutionary and drastic proposals, but the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory followed by such a peace of serenity as I had never known. There was utter confidence. Oh my gosh, I haven't read this in a long time. I just love it. I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through me. God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was immediate. Praying for God's will is easy. Accepting God's will is not. Thank you very much.